And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
The 59th Annual Synod and Budget Conference of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England takes place next Friday the 4th and Saturday the 5th of October at St. Timothy's Lutheran Church in Sunderland. The theme of this year's Synod will be the ELCE and her place in British Christianity. The ELCE looks forward immensely to greeting its members from across the UK and welcoming guests from overseas. There will be a report for LRUK on the developments from the 59th Synod in a future news broadcast. Germany may have two Lutheran leaders in government after Angela Merkel's centre-left opponents took tough bargaining positions this week for the political poker game that follows her German election victory, with the Social Democrats and Greens feigning no interest in forming a coalition with her. The Conservative Chancellor just fell short of an absolute majority on Sunday, meaning she has to form a government with one of three other parties who made it into Parliament. With one far-left party out of the question as a partner for her Conservatives, that leaves only the Social Democrats, the SPD, and Greens. Both began a negotiating process that could last months by swearing they would rather stay in opposition than help Merkel serve a third term. Katrin Göring-Eckardt, one of the few Greens leaders left standing, said differences with the Conservatives were too wide for the two parties to work effectively together in government. It would have no credibility and would not help a stable government after the views expressed in this campaign, said Göring-Eckardt, who, like Merkel, is an East German close to the Lutheran Church, although she is 12 years younger at 47. The party fielded her in the election as a centrist counterweight to left-leaning veteran Jürgen Trittin, whose push for higher taxes on the rich seems to have hurt the party. The SPD remains the most likely partner for Merkel. Even after a second consecutive disastrous election, it is the biggest party after the Conservatives and will ask a high price for repeating the Grand Coalition, which Merkel led from 2005 to 2009. Jesus Christ was the world's first tweeter because his pronouncements were brief and full of meaning, Vatican Cardinal Gianfranco Ravasi said on Wednesday. Christ used tweets before everyone else, with elementary phrases made up of fewer than 45 characters, like love one another, said Ravasi, the Vatican's equivalent of a culture minister. A bit like in television today, he delivered a message through a story or a symbol, Ravasi said at a conference with Italy's leading newspaper editors. The cardinal emphasized the importance of clergy making full use of modern-day computer technology. If a cleric, a pastor, is not interested in communication, they are defying their duty, he said. The Vatican has stepped up its presence on the internet in recent years, initially under Benedict XVI, and now under Pope Francis, who has more than 3 million followers on Twitter in English alone. Francis also has resorted to more traditional media, cold-calling ordinary faithful, who have written to him lengthy letters on religious issues that have appeared in the Italian press. Meantime, Austria's Roman Catholic Church has learned its lesson. Mass is okay, mass texting is not. A diocese in the southern city of Graz says it has been found guilty of contravening Austria's telecommunications law by sending mass texts to the cell phones of followers, asking them to pay overdue membership fees. Members of recognized religions in Austria must pay also so-called church taxes or opt out of membership. For a Catholic, non-payment would mean no right to church sacraments. Diocese official Herta Thurk was quoted by the Der Standard newspaper this week as saying the diocese has agreed to pay a fine that is under 10,000 euros. A court took up the case after complaints from some of the 17,000 church members in arrears who received the text last year. In the UK, a bishop has spoken out against wind farms, claiming he has a Christian duty to protect the countryside from becoming marred and disfigured. Bishop of Newcastle, the Reverend Martin Walton, said there was danger of turbines turning parts of Northumberland into one industrial site after another. In a letter in the Journal newspaper, the bishop said that having spent time touring the region during the summer, he had been unable not to notice the growing number of wind farms. He claims he is yet to see any evidence that turbines will ever produce the reliable energy that is needed by society. It is a basic Christian truth that we all have a duty and a responsibility to care for and exercise wise stewardship over God's creation, which has been entrusted to us, he said. Our countryside needs to be protected and preserved for ourselves, for our children and for our grandchildren, as a place of refreshment and renewal for the spiritual health and well-being of us all. The danger is that in parts of Northumberland, our landscape is becoming marred and disfigured and turned into one industrial site after another. The bishop concludes the letter by saying people in the northeast enjoy a wonderful physical and spiritual heritage and warns the planning authority that it must take great care in approving any future applications. He said, "It is now not the time to say enough to any further blots on our landscape." And quoting from Psalm 24, he said, "Please remember above all that the earth is the Lord's and all that fills it." Queen Elizabeth II is so fond of her corgis that she personally supervises their daily meal and pours the gravy for them herself, according to a new book on British royal pets since the 16th century. Pets by Royal Appointment by author Brian Hoey, who has written about Buckingham Palace for more than 40 years, suggests that the monarch prefers animal company to those of humans. The book says that the royals are suspicious of practically everyone outside their own family, so the only creatures they really trust are not of the human variety, according to a statement released with the book's publication. The book says the dog's meals of fillet steak and chicken breast are prepared by a footman and served at 5 p.m. sharp every day, with the 87-year-old queen pouring the gravy on the feast. Elizabeth currently has two corgis and two dorgies, a cross with a dachshund, and has had more than 30 corgis during her reign. Prince Philip, however, loathes the waddling short-legged animals because they yap too much, according to Hoey. The 300-page book traces the five-century love affair between the royals and their animals, starting with Henry VIII, a keen rider. He says the royals are known for an aversion to cats. Queen Victoria, who died in 1901, had 88 dogs and also received a number of exotic animals from foreign rulers, including an elephant from Cameroon, a baby crocodile from Gambia, a giraffe, and a giant tortoise from the Seychelles. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
This is Lutheran Radio UK, the radio station of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.